Hello, this is the Gravy Train team. I'm April Mullen.
And I'm Tim Dorn.
And you're listening to After the Credits
on row3.com.
I'm just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Ooh, what they say. There will come a day when youth will pass away. What will they say about me when the end comes? I know they'll be just a gigolo.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Brain Antunes of row3.com and quieter.us, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, hobo at large.
Dale, Dale42 at a bunch of places, Twitter, Letterboxd, and After stuff. The Credits.
After stuff.
Stuff.
The hobo one is awesome.
Glad to entertain. All right. Moving on.
Yeah, moving right along. Is this another one of those? Are you going to be moving right along everything I say this episode?
Think so.
Damn it.
That's it's right. A trend.
It is. Apparently today it is a trend. I'm sure I know why.
I'm making up time for those 3 minutes I was late getting to your house, which like creeps me out no end.
I don't see why. I was enjoying the sunshine.
It doesn't matter. I said 1:30. I should be there by like 1:25.
It sounds disgusting to me. I know, right? I don't know how you could get into the car.
I know. I was so
sorry
upset.
The truck.
You know, I could have watched another 3 minutes of Veronica Mars. I'm very disappointed. This is the trend in my life.
Well, that's why I was late. I was watching Supernatural. I'm like going, is it not done yet, this episode?
And oh, well, I had to manage because I had to shower. So I paused this episode halfway through. I'm like, need to make sure I have enough time to get dressed and be outside in time for Colleen. And I did finish the episode before, so that was good.
Fantastic.
But we are here to talk movies, particularly those opening in April, which seems to be the month of everything is starting to happen for summer.
Yeah, lots and lots of stuff. And it's a mixed bag of awesome to shit.
Well, let's start with April 4th. Is it awesome or is it shit? This should be this could be the subtitle of the episode. Is it awesome,
awesome
or
shit? Yes.
So, Captain America: The Winter
awesome.
Soldier.
Shit.
No. I'm with Dale on this one. Awesome.
Actually, you know what? It doesn't look bad. It's just I cannot get enthusiastic at all about superhero movies. I don't know why.
Come on, it's the dude from Gossip Girl.
I'm about the monsters. I'm not about the superheroes.
So we have like a couple months left for you to get
really
excited.
Yes, you'll That's hear me you're squealing more and more as we approach Godzilla date.
I might not be excited, but Chris Evans, he seems to like rock it with the superheroes. So.
He is awesome.
He was the only good thing about Fantastic. Well, not the only, but just about the only good thing about Fantastic Four.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and he makes Captain America like
it's
this could have gone so wrong in so many ways, but he pulls it off.
So I mean, he's back along with Black Widow. We're talking, of course, about Scarlett Johansson. I'm still not 100% sure what the movie's about, but I don't think that matters.
No, it doesn't.
Mm. And of course, what's his name is in here too. Somebody help me here. The Oscar winner, Reds guy. My mind is gone, totally blank. Somebody help me, please.
I have no idea.
Sebastian
Stan?
No, he's
Frank Grillo.
He's the Gossip Girl guy.
People on the list.
I know. You mean Redford?
Yes, thank you.
I didn't even have to wait for that to come up. I just had to play the trailer in my head.
Robert Redford. Who is apparently not doing any press, which is kind of funny to me. That
it doesn't
me
look
up.
Like he has a big role anyway.
No,
do
I
you
don't
think
so.
Redford actually needs to do press anymore?
No.
No.
He's Robert fucking Redford.
Exactly.
Mind you, I mean, his movie from last year could have used a little bit of press. It was really good, and it didn't get any attention.
I own half of Colorado now. Do I need more of it?
You know, yeah. It could be nice to have the other half too.
Yeah, maybe.
Be nice to add to the resume.
I just elect myself senator.
I own 75 senators and clicking bad.
Nice.
Zing. That right there is a zing.
Okay.
I still haven't played clicking bad. I'm afraid. I don't need any more addictions this week. Thank you very much. Also opening April 4th, Dom Hemingway. Yes, Jude Law is back as a badass.
Wow. Yeah, it took me forever to recognize that. It's like, who is that? then the thing goes, Jude Law. It's like, wow.
I watched the trailer three times back to back. This is either going to be absolutely bad or absolutely awesome.
I know.
But no matter what, it's going to be fascinating to watch.
There's no middle ground. I mean, he is just so balls to the wall with that role. It's either going to work or it's going to like
die. Either way, I'm going to be sitting like forward, leaning in my chair and staring at the screen throughout the entire length of it.
And going, what happened to Jude Law?
I'm still not sure what I'm thinking about this film.
Masterpiece or train wreck.
Well, if it's anything like Filth, which kind of, for some reason, they remind me. They're very similar to me in tone. Like they're both these two actors who are most known for being like, you know, good guys and being like badass. Oh,
some of the people, Richard E. Grant in it. Yay.
Yes, you're
can't
right.
Go it's, wrong there.
It's either going to be totally genius or it's totally going to bomb. I'm going for the genius.
It can go that full way too. On Hudson Hawk too, though.
Oh, I hope not.
Which I love Hudson Hawk, but
Kit-Kat.
I can't understand
Kit-Kat.
Why everyone hates that
Kit Kat.
Film.
Okay, the best part of that movie is the gurney across the bridge.
It is. And he like snags the menthol. Menthol.
Love it. Okay, that movie does have a couple of really great moments, I must admit. Also opening April 4th, Island of Lemurs, Madagascar. Documentary about lemurs.
IMAX. Yeah, this kind of is what it is.
Pretty much.
The nature folks. So I just want to say, I want the idiots that did the trailer for
Disney's Bears?
The Drive movie.
The Drive movie.
Oh, God. Why can't? Need for Speed.
Oh, yeah.
I want the idiots that did the trailer for Need to Speed to watch the trailer for this movie. They took a bloody lemur just jumping from one tree to the other, which I've seen a gazillion times done in full motion. Like, and it's just like, jump, slow motion, bitchin' music, you know, this spectacular lead in music. And it's just like, you're going, wow, that is the greatest thing ever. And it's like, these guys took those fast cars, shitty soundtrack, shitty lead in. And it's just like, wow, boring trailer. Like, just watch this trailer. This is how you do it, boys.
Really? I found this trailer tedious at best.
It's very
no
by
explosion,
the book.
So already down one there. Yeah. But yeah,
it's about lemurs, though. They're so cute.
You know, like so many other things on the list of things I don't like. Somehow, movies about animals.
That one is on the list.
At least this one doesn't have talking animals.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That is plus.
True. Well, I don't think it's a Disney production, so that might.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, is it? I thought it was.
It may well be. I'm
pretty sure it is.
Oh, great. Okay, when did Disney become the place to watch Disney document, like family nature documentaries?
That's their origins.
Oh man,
I didn't know that.
Mutual of Omaha wrapped up in the Disney.
I remember as a kid watching Wonderful World of Disney, and they had their like that's where the famous Lemmings Over the Edge thing came from, was Disney, and they had a whole whack of them.
And that one narrator that was on everything, that
Morgan Freeman.
No, it was before Morgan
God?
Freeman found his true destiny.
Yes, as the god of every documentary. And I just noticed it's only 39 minutes long.
What?
Yeah, it's IMAX.
Wow.
That's why.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Interesting. Also opening on the 4th, I believe in limited release, finally, Jonathan Glazer's Under the Skin, Scarlett Johansson as a man-eating alien. Need I say more?
I'm in.
From the guy that did Birth, Scarlett Johansson as a man-eating alien.
I was excited when I read the sci-fi thing, but I'm not sure. Well, I'm going to see this movie. It just
yes.
But I haven't seen any of Glazer's other stuff. In,
you haven't seen Birth?
No, I haven't.
It was weird.
That's awesome. That's what I heard.
Like, it's so good though.
That whole it kind of looked creepy.
I just like that,
and that's why it's amazing.
I just like the description. An alien seductress preys upon hitchhikers in Scotland. That's it. That's the only thing written down.
That got me excited.
Well,
and then it's like,
I don't need anymore.
Scarlett Johansson? Okay.
And apparently some of the hitchhikers that she picks up were in on it. They were actors. And some of them are not. Yeah, exactly. Which only piques my interest even further.
Try to get the clearance for that one.
Well, yeah, this should be very, 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 very interesting. Also opening on the 4th, Nymphomaniac Volume 2. If you're in Vancouver, you can see both Volume 1 and Volume 2. I recommend watching both parts because one without the other isn't a full movie. And it's Charlotte Gainsbourg plays a woman who is a nymphomaniac.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically she covers her life story.
Yeah, we talked about this last mm-hmm. Episode. I don't know. I'm just not the biggest Lars von Trier fangirl. I know that's probably like betraying every part of art house culture.
Not really.
I don't know. I just don't get it.
No.
I was a little bit more interested after I read your review.
Yeah.
But yeah, this looks like one of those things that just when I'm in the right mood, I'll go
Which
find
will be
it.
Never.
No, not necessarily, but
it's
possibly.
It's one of those movies that, I mean, I highly recommend everybody check it out, but it's not for everybody. So it's like, I don't even know how to recommend it. You're either going to see it or you're not. It has some really interesting things to say. I'll link to the review as well if anybody else is interested. But yeah, so volume one is already available on VOD. Volume two is going to be available, I guess, on the 4th, along with a limited theatrical release. And in some places, you can watch part one and part two. They're being released at the same time. That is the case in Vancouver. So if you're in town, you can watch Nymphomaniac. It's playing for a limited engagement at the Van City. That's my plug there.
Okay.
Finally, also opening on the 4th, Afflicted. I believe this is a VOD release only. The Vancouver made, while it's made by a couple of local filmmakers, I don't know if it's actually shot here. I haven't seen it. It's a found footage horror movie. Did you guys watch the full trailer?
I think I watched the full trailer.
The full trailer. Is there anything that they haven't revealed about the film in that
There
trailer?
Apparently is a twist. I don't know if it's in the trailer or not because I watched about 30 seconds of the trailer and I turned it off. Mm-hmm. Not for anything bad. I just don't want to know anything about it. And then partway through that same day where the trailer was released, somebody like totally told me what it was about, what the twist is.
See, watching the trailer, by the end of it, I'm... Okay, I've seen the film. I don't really necessarily need to see anything else on this.
Yeah, apparently the reviews have been really, really positive. It's got a lot of attention coming out of, I think it was Fantasia and Midnight Madness last year. And it's local filmmakers. Got to support the local talent.
Yeah, I did not realize that. The trailer was really well done, but I'm just kind of done with found footage.
Well, you know I can't watch this because it'll be so shaky cam.
Yeah.
But even if it wasn't, after watching the trailer, I have no interest in seeing it now. If you had sort of described the concept of it, I might have been more interested than after seeing essentially the film in little 5-second takes.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that there's probably more. I wish maybe now I should have watched the trailer, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I really wanted to go in sort of blind, and I think I may have been. They have taken that away from me, and I'm very sad about it.
Bushwhacked.
Also opening on the 4th, Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa. What's this guy's name? Oh, my God. I cannot remember.
Coogan?
Yes, Steve Coogan. Does anybody care about Steve Coogan?
Well, Alpha Papa? The trailer I watched was not for Alpha Papa. Oh, that's weird.
Are there two of them?
Well, I think there are, because Alpha Papa came out like... Is that an error? Yeah, see...
Oh.
This is just Alan Partridge.
The write-up is right, but the Alpha Papa I don't think is...
Okay, yeah, so it's just
right.
Alan Partridge.
The title is wrong. Yeah, no, this is the second one. Like, when I saw the second one, because Alpha Papa came out a while ago.
Okay.
When I saw there was a second movie, it's like... Did they really do a sequel? And I looked it up a bit, and this is a character on one of these BBC spoof news shows. So he's a continuing character in a skit comedy.
Okay.
Sort of like This Hour Has 22 Minutes, I think.
All right. So Alpha Papa was the first one
was
that
the
he
first
did?
One.
Okay.
And in this one, he's held hostage at a radio station, and comedy ensues.
It looks like it could be fun.
Yeah.
Steve Coogan doesn't just... do anything for me.
He normally doesn't. Alpha Papa, the trailer, I remember being like, eh. This one actually kind of marginally had me a bit interested. I might, if there was nothing else on,
watch it. It was okay. Like, the trailer, like, it's one of those things that's, again, gonna either be funny or not at all, depending on if what you saw in the trailer is actually I don't know. I doubt I'd go out of my way to see it.
Yeah, I don't think I would.
If it was on Netflix, I'd watch it for sure. So hurry up, Netflix.
moving on to April 11th, Rio 2.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Talking animals, I'm out. talking animals and animation. I'm double out.
Fun. I think it looks kind of fun.
Never saw the first one in the theater. Not good.
I don't think I've seen the first one. I know it's something about rescuing a parrot.
I don't know.
And then in the second one, they find out that the macaw or parrot or whatever it
is. Okay, that's the only
is not
interesting
the
thing.
Only one left in the
that's
world.
That's like a true story. There it's a pretty much extinct bird. And like they found another one out in the wild or something.
Okay, so an animated movie about talking
very loosely
based. That
is
weird.
On a factoid.
Was it Jesse Eisenberg, I think, plays, yes, a parrot who he thought he was the last one of his species. And in the first movie, he meets a girl in his species and like, oh my God, we're the last two.
Yeah.
Then they discover this lost flock in Africa. So they go for a visit.
And, you know,
and comedy
ensues,
yes. And it's got its audience.
Yeah, it's loud, it's colorful, it's musical, there are talking animals, it looks cute.
The Madagascar crew kind of got tired out, so bring in the Rio crew.
Musical, animated, and talking animals.
It's like all the Colleen's exes.
Let's bring on the religious dogma.
We are going to use this to indoctrinate something in you.
Oh,
I don't know what it is yet.
Good God.
I've got the masking tape. Oh, the duct tape. We're going to tape you to the...
Tape me to the chair and then get those like metal clamps to force my eyes open. Sweet. I've always wanted to reenact Clockwork Orange.
And I will be there to do it with you.
I always thought of myself as the person inflicting that upon others, but whatever. I'll take what I can get.
You take what you can get. Good. I'm more of the inflicting type anyways. Also opening on the 11th. Also opening on the 11th. Kevin Costner in a movie about football.
Who wants to watch essentially a sports fantasy football?
Everyone who plays fantasy football is going to cream their jeans seeing their kind of like fantasy on the big screen.
I don't fucking get it.
I looked at the trailer and I thought, just like, you know, Kevin Costner plays the coach that's putting together the team that everyone thought was impossible. And it's like, yeah, this is like every dude that's put together a fantasy football
which
team.
Is like everybody that watches sports. Is that what?
Could be.
Yeah. I just don't know, but I do love me some Kevin Costner.
Well, and it's Ivan Reitman. Like, yes. Like, there was a quality to the scenes in the trailer that was like, well, this feels like something. And I'm looking at the, it's like, oh, Ivan Reitman. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, after the film he was in last month, I forget what one it was, that I sort of semi went, yeah, okay, fine, great, Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm right back on that. Fuck, Kevin Costner, you bastard again. I just don't know what it is about that guy.
That was short-lived.
I'll say this, though. Like, the script has some really good zingers in it. Like, there were some really funny lines that I was laughing. And Jennifer Gardner's aging really well. Like, I never really found her a thing younger, but now she's like...
Ben Affleck was onto something.
Could be.
And hey. Thank you very much, the male portion of our
show. Hey, he's entitled.
We're
entitled.
Yes, true.
We're talking shallow, so...
Hey, I talk shallow a lot.
That's
so
right. Bring on the shallow.
Who am I to complain? Also opening on the 11th, Oculus. With Doctor Who's Karen Gillan.
That was...
Gillan? I'm not
Gillan.
Sure.
Gillan. I think it's Gillan.
I don't know how to pronounce her names. Brenton Thwaites, who's come out of nowhere to be everywhere, and Katie Sackhoff as the woman in the haunted mirror. It's about a haunted mirror.
Yeah, haunted mirror.
Why don't they just smash it? Take
all
the pieces?
Actually, they addressed that in the trailer. I thought that was quite clever.
I must have tuned out on that part.
She wants to prove that her brother wasn't crazy, and she has to keep the mirror intact to do that. So she's on this kind of mission. And, of course, everyone who's ever watched a horror movie goes, no, don't know that. There lies the way of madness. But there you go.
Smash the mirror, take all the pieces, put it in sulfuric acid to strip all the shiny part on the back of it.
She just doesn't want to destroy it, and we got to go
salt
with that.
And
yeah,
fire.
You either go with it or you don't.
Yeah, I really like Karen Gillan, but I'm going to wait for Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't.
Yeah, it's funny because the trailer for this movie doesn't really do anything for me, but the buzz around this is fucking deafening.
Well, it's because it's the Who's.
I don't think so, man. Because, really? I mean, out of Midnight Madness, there were a lot of people that were buzzing about this movie.
Really?
I think it's the reason it got picked up.
Weird.
Because people say it's really, really effective. I mean, I don't really see that in the trailer, but I'm willing to get scared. At the like, if they can manage to scare me, I'm game.
I would not go out of my way. If it was across the street from my house, I might walk over and watch it, but yeah, it does nothing.
Well, and quite honestly, I'd rather watch Only Lovers Left Alive. Come on, super
let's move on to
super sexy vampires. Tom Hiddleston is a vampire, people.
Oh, and Tilda Swinton.
And like, Tilda Swinton being awesome. This movie, the more trailers I see for this movie, the more I think that if this had been made when I was in high school, I would have been a goth for life. I probably would be like a groupie in a band or something, because this movie is just like, it's all my sweet spots.
So it's basically about two vampire lovers that have been together for centuries.
Yeah, you know, they've been apart for a couple, they're old, they've been apart for a couple of centuries, now they've come back together, and you know, stuff happens.
Adjusting to the modern age.
Kinda.
I loved seeing, like, Tilda Swinton, I think the last three or four roles I've seen her in, she's been like really buttoned down, and she does do that really well. This one, she's cutting loose.
Oh,
and I was like, if only for that, I have to see this movie.
You know, I saw an interview with her at South by Southwest. I'll link to it if I can find it. But just the way she talks about this movie, she is just so in tune with, you know, what Jim Jarmusch was getting at. And they all seem to be on the same page. And there's just something so magical about these trailers. I love this movie and I haven't even seen it yet.
Some of the things they dropped in the trailer, too, were kind of funny.
I liked him showing up to the blood bank, and every time the name was slightly different.
Yeah.
Okay, I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
Vampires, least favorite of all the monsters sort of things for me. I'm just sick of them to death, like even more so than zombies.
But it's the Hiddles.
This looks good. Like every once in a while, despite my cynicism in that, something like let the right one in comes along and you're just blown out of the water. This looks like it could very well be another one that I would willingly accept a vampire film into my brain.
Excellent. Moving on to The Railway Man, starring Nicole Kidman, Stellan Skarsgård, and Colin Firth. It's about a World War II vet who basically returns. He discovers that one of his tormentors is still alive and goes to get justice, I guess. But apparently, I mean, I'm not familiar with the story, but apparently it's like a really big deal in the UK.
Well,
I don't know why.
This is the same railway that the Bridge on the River Kwai movie was based on.
Oh, yes. The force.
Okay, her eyes just totally lit up.
The railway was actually called, the Railway of Death. Death Railway.
Mm.
They force built that in crazy amount of time with basically hand tools kind of thing. It's just crazy what they did. And I want to see it just for the sort of the World War II reenactment sections of it. The Colin Firth story, Get Revenge Against My Captor, doesn't intrigue me nearly as much as seeing just a little bit more clip of World War II prisoners making railways.
And this is part of I'm always interested with things based on history, how close they are. Like this is based on a book of the same name, which was an autobiography of this guy. And some of the things that they changed in the movie, like the whole revenge thing apparently is quite overplayed in the movie for dramatic effect. The real life story isn't quite that
focused.
Or taken to that level.
Yeah.
Like the guy was trying to find closure, but if I'm remembering the stuff I read correctly, he didn't actually go back for revenge in the real story. He just went back for closure.
Yeah, and in the movie, I mean, it seems like they're playing it for revenge.
Oh, they clearly are. Yeah. That was one of the differences in them. I mean, you know, it amps the drama up, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm always a sucker for war films that don't focus directly on the trenches and shooting each other. Yeah. All the periphery stuff. I love that.
This, one of the reviews I read of it was, like, this is one of the few films that focuses on the effects of that experience over time. And I said, that's interesting. So I'm interested in this movie, definitely.
Yeah,
even if it's not, I mean, none of them are ever accurate, so.
And I mean, I really like this cast. I mean, who am I kidding? Nicole Kidman and Colin Firth.
Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, like him.
The dude from Helix.
Yeah, I can never remember his name. The Japanese man. Yeah. I'm going to have to memorize his name because he's pretty great. Also opening on the 11th, probably in limited release, I'm guessing, David Gordon Green's Joe with the return of Nicolas Cage
as dramatic
as a serious actor,
yes,
in a serious movie.
Yeah, very much so. Looked way too dramatic for me.
I don't know. I liked David Gordon Green in general. I prefer his dramas to his comedies, even something like Prince Avalanche, which I didn't really care for. But it's Nicolas Cage playing an unlikely role model to a 17-year-old kid who is played by Ty Sheridan, who has done really well over the last couple of years.
I either love to love Nicolas Cage or love to hate Nicolas Cage.
And
so
this is,
I'm thinking it might be a love to love,
yeah,
Nicolas Cage, because he looks
great.
Good and he doesn't, yeah, look retarded.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The drama is played drama properly. But, just too much.
Don't get me
drama.
Wrong. This is not going to be a bad Lieutenant Port of Call, New Orleans.
No.
His crowning achievement in his life. But
this
it could
is
be
also,
good.
This is also based on a book by the same name.
Oh, based on a book, hey? I'm just writing that down because this is good fodder for the other podcast. And I didn't realize that. Making a note. All right. Moving on. Cuban Fury.
Cuban Fury.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know.
Rashinda Jones.
It's a dance film.
I do like her.
It is a dance film, which you normally are,
yes,
right on top,
true,
of.
But come on.
And normally
Nick Frost,
I am absolutely
Nick
anti.
Frost.
Normally I'm very much anti dance films, but you know what? Nick Frost in it has me
So Nick Frost is
interested.
A former, what, salsa prodigy who attempts to come back late in his career, except he doesn't look like a salsa dancer anymore.
No, he's a tubby.
I think there are certainly, it certainly has capability of being very funny.
Yeah.
This is like every tubby geek's wet dream. Like,
really?
I will dance, impress the ladies, and get Rashinda
That's
Jones.
That's their wet dream?
Yeah, Rashinda Jones is pretty hot.
I would have thought more Leia, Slave Leia, would be
well,
their
you know,
dream.
That's a fantasy.
Oh, well, okay. You know, Rashinda Jones would probably look really great in that Slave
probably
Leia
would,
that
yeah.
Slave Leia bikini.
Probably.
Probably. Also stars Chris O'Dowd.
Doing her little like accent thing, German accent. Skit.
Love it.
Yes.
Oh, this is going in so many bad places. Oh, my mind is swirling.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's Nick Frost. He's part of my favorite
dynamic duo.
Yeah, ever. So I'll give it a shot.
It is cool to see him doing solo. Like not
yeah. attached to yeah. Simon Pegg. Yeah.
Yeah. Also opening on the 11th, The Raid 2. Does it really need a subtitle? No. Am I the only one that's excited about The Raid 2?
You know what? Honestly, the trailer, the only reason I'd see this is for the Parker sequences. Everything else, I would just like, can we just cut it and do YouTube video of the Parker bit?
Did you watch The Raid?
Yeah, I did.
And you didn't think it was awesome?
It was okay.
Oh my God. This I did not know. I thought you would think this movie was awesome.
Yeah, I like the Parker parts.
Oh, I loved the first Raid movie. I clearly remember dragging Dan to see it on the Saturday that it opened.
Yeah, I'd skip that and watch Attack the Block again.
Okay, I could go with that. But I clearly remember it was like the theater was full of like 40-year-old guys who probably loved Van Damme in the 80s.
Was there lots of mullets?
There were a few.
Nice.
And it was really awesome because I'm not sure if they really knew what they were getting themselves into, but we all walked up with huge smiles plastered on our faces.
El Camaros nice. And Impalas in the parking lot?
I didn't notice. The parking lot's pretty big. But I'm really excited that we get a sequel where the stakes are even bigger and it's not just in a building anymore.
Nice.
Now we're in prison. That prison scene in the trailer, that little clip is intense. Intense. So yes, very, very excited for The Raid 2. Stay tuned. More coming from me on that. Moving on to the 18th, Transcendence. Why does Johnny Depp have to be in this movie?
That was my thought too.
Fuck me.
He threw me out of it more than anything else.
I know. Me too.
He's so unpredictable. Like, he could be awesome in this, but he just might do one of those weird left turn things and suck the whole movie down a maw.
You know, and what happened to the days when, you know, when Johnny Depp was in a movie, it was like a reason to get excited, and now it's like Johnny Depp is in a movie and it's like a reason to groan.
He's got too big.
I was never that big of a Johnny Depp fan. I don't remember ever going, oh my God, it's Johnny Depp, I'm going.
You know,
I was never a big fangirl, but I always liked, in generally speaking, I always liked the movies that he was in. And then
I think when people could, you know, when he wasn't so big that it's like, that's an interesting idea, but mm-hmm. no. And mm-hmm. then occasionally it's like, oh, that's an interesting idea. Let's go with it. That was cool.
Yeah.
Now it's like, he's so big. It's like, yes, Johnny, whatever you want, Johnny.
Yeah,
and so there's no filter there.
The kind of the whole thing that just rubs me the wrong way. But I mean, it's directed by Wally Pfeiffer, making his directorial debut. Big deal around the movie cooler, water cooler circles, because he's the cinematographer for Nolan.
Oh,
so everybody was, ooh, Wally Pfeiffer is making his own movie. This is going to be interesting. Filmed in Alberta.
Yay.
Go Canada. But yeah, Johnny Depp plays like this super genius guy who's like dying or dead. So they
insert him into the Matrix.
Yeah, insert him into the computers and, you know, things go wrong. No shit. Really? I didn't see that one coming. But I mean, it certainly does look interesting. And I really like Rebecca Hall and Morgan Freeman. God is in it.
God.
I love Cillian the premise. Yeah.
Yeah, the premise is really great. It has the opportunity to go in some really interesting places. And I don't doubt it does. I have real issues with Johnny Depp now. I don't know why, but in my mind, the whole thing just doesn't work for me. But I'm still going to see it. I hope to be
good
wowed.
Good for you.
I hope to be wowed. It's big sci-fi. Of course I'm going to go. Who am I kidding? also opening on the 18th. Oh, I'm going to be lining up for this one. Haunted House 2. Because one wasn't enough.
Let's give a Wayans brother a chance just to crack a whole bunch of different jokes.
Different jokes?
They're jokes?
Okay.
Variations on the same tired hackney bit that we've been doing for the last 20 years?
It has served them well.
True enough.
You know, if you like that, you probably can't get enough of it.
I guess.
Well, you know, I did laugh when it's just like, call an ambulance for the dog, right? Call an ambulance. Tell him it's a white dog.
Okay, that it's did a, make me
laugh. I don't think joke. I even like grinned watching it. I was like... Watching a Tyler Perry trailer now, I'm just like, are we done yet? I've done my homework. Okay, well, I watched it. I'm done.
This is the kind of stuff I can take as skit comedy. You know, yeah. Like a 4-minute skit kind of thing, maybe a little bit longer, but not a whole movie.
Yeah, I just, for me, the appeal does not exist for any of these. So, also opening on the 18th, The Family Drama. Sort of. Bears.
I'm so sick of animal.
But
stories.
The trailer is so cute. The bears are so
adorable.
Oh,
well, the bears are cute.
Let's make a story about bears and then film lots of bears.
At least they don't talk in this one.
True enough.
True.
Instead, we have God narrating. Is it God or is it?
It's John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly is
a demigod.
I thought it was quite a step down from Morgan Freeman.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so sick of nature documentaries glorifying animals that should be made into sausage meat.
Bears are good eating.
They are.
I will take
for
your word
sausage.
For it.
They're kind of greasy.
The only I love seeing
and
proper,
we just lose our vegetarian and vegan base.
I think so. I love seeing proper documentaries. Some of these, though, they personify the critters too much, and then you get those stupid things like
they're not humans.
It's a cute grizzly bear feeding them on the side of the road, and
that's true.
Danger to these things. Like
you see a bear, you back away slowly,
and then run for all your life.
You treat them with a great deal of respect. These are not family pets, for God's sake. And that. Personal rant over. There looks like some spectacular photography, but
I am kind of interested in this recent sort of, I don't want to say resurgence, because I mean it's never really gone away, but it seems like people are way more interested at the moment in documentaries on both film and TV.
Documentaries. Yeah, I was thinking the whole nature thing, because like two in a month.
Cosmos is doing really well on TV, and it's been a number of years since we've had anything.
I would
like
love
that,
to
so.
See if it's linked to some demographics about
that'll be interesting.
You know,
really interesting,
if there's
a
bulge in that kind of age group.
Now, I wonder if the whole NASA Mars rover thing has anything to do with it as well.
Yeah,
I mean that sort of brought science back into popular, and you know, the mainstream kind of. To an extent. It's just really interesting that, you know, for a while there, it's not like they've gone away, but they were sort of in the background and now they seem to be everywhere. It's really great. I'm not complaining, but
I'll complain.
Yes, you go ahead. Also opening on the 18th, Heaven is for Real. Yeah.
It's our monthly religious dogma track.
What is Greg Kinnear doing in a religious movie?
Paycheck?
I guess.
You know, I was looking at what other movies was it Randall Wallace had done, and I really liked We Were Soldiers and Man in the Iron Mask, but this one...
Oh, I liked Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah, and it's like that one's really different from...
Yeah.
This one just seems to like really play heavy on those like big moment, like we're going to play the dramatic music, so we're telling you how you feel in this moment, and that kind of always turns me off.
Me too. I don't really have anything to say about this one. It's not for me.
This one is based on a book called Heaven is for Real, a little boy's astounding story on his trip to heaven and back, which just tells you the whole story right there.
There you go. Not for me.
Not for me either.
Good God, no.
Colleen is trying not to
explode.
I feel
like I just got splashed with holy water.
She's melting. She's melting. Also opening on the 18th. Fading Gigolo. I actually think this looks hilarious.
You know,
in a really, really weird and twisted way.
At first, I was terrified it actually was a what's his face film,
a Woody Allen
film, which I generally hate Woody Allen films. But him just being an actor and someone else telling him what to do, I can get on board this film.
I read the title of this and was ready to write it off, and I'm watching the trailer like. Oh, and then I'm reading that it's like written, directed, and acted in by John Turturro.
Yeah.
And he kind of cleans up nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
I'm so used
I'm so used to seeing him in scenes where he's like, they've done him up to look like menacing or a little bit goofy, and he's holding like someone's brains in his hands. Just to see him as like kind of a normal guy in nice clothes, it's like, oh, okay, he's not so like...
He scrubs up, okay.
Goofy, evil looking after all. the whole premise is.
I think
fun.
The premise is really fun because I mean you've got Woody Allen playing a pimp to John Turturro.
Yeah, unlikely gigolo.
Yeah, it just I don't know. There's some semblance of hilarity there to me for some reason. So
I agree. Yeah, I want to see this film. I'm not sure if I'm going to see it in the theater, but
yeah, I'm certainly curious.
I do want to see this film.
Moving on to, I think, the last month of April, The Other Woman. Nick Cassavetes directing Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann and Kate Upton.
Didn't we have this with the Ex-Wives Club?
Oh, and that movie is so good.
It's another female revenge fantasy. Yeah.
So the one lover finds out that she's not the only lover, and she teams up with the wife to, you know, exact revenge. Whatever.
Yeah, it didn't really do much for me.
Yeah. I'm usually okay with these kinds of things, and I really like Nikolai Coster-Waldau, but, yeah, no.
The one thing I like is the fact that, like, should you be angry with the other woman, or should you be angry at the person that you were with?
Yeah.
Direct your rage at the right place.
Yeah. There's just a lot of problems with this. I don't even want to get into it. The whole thing just makes my brain hurt, to be completely honest. I watched half the trailer and I'm like, really? This should technically work for me because I kind of like this type of thing, but it's not.
No.
It's not.
It looks so generic, you know?
Yeah.
Like it could be. I think this would be...
It's
like
white bread.
For me, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, if I just needed something mindless to watch because I was like kind of brain dead, I would maybe turn it on, but... It's not going to be.
I'd rather rewatch the backup line.
It's not going to be any kind of a destination piece.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's white bread. It's skim milk. It's nothing. I have no interest.
How about The Quiet Ones? Does that generate any interest? A group of students and their professor try to create a poltergeist.
Yeah. Again, I should be interested in this, but I'm not.
I'm not because horror.
I am because Sam Kaplan's in it, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that was one of the better things about it, but yeah, I don't know.
He's a good-looking young man.
True enough.
Very good-looking young man. Okay, let's move along.
I'm not a big fan of ghost stories. I don't know why.
They don't usually do anything for
monsters
me either.
Monsters right there.
I agree. Yeah. I could go with monsters. I just the trailer I actually thought was well done enough. I don't know. I'm kind of curious, but not running out to see it.
I would probably see that earlier Ghost Story with Amy Pond than this one, Gillen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Oculus.
Yeah, that has kind of more of a story if we're going to go supernatural.
I would agree, yeah.
This just seems to be a lot of bizarre, insane, random.
I do like horror. The look of the trailer, but not enough. I'm with you. If I'm going to see a horror movie this month, it's going to be Oculus instead. We'll move along instead to a remake. A remake.
Is this a remake?
It is a remake.
I saw Bazan on the writing credits.
Yep. So it's a remake of District 13.
God damn. Why?
Oh, there you go. Why? That's why Bazan. He probably had nothing to do with this. They just...
Pretty much.
Because of the original script.
David Bell is in it. And that's one good thing.
Well, and Paul Walker, right?
And I like Paul Walker. So, I mean, I'm game.
Not his last movie.
No, second to last, apparently. I'm not quite sure what his last movie will be. But I mean, if you know the story, I think they've changed the story a little bit. I don't actually, it's been a long time since I've seen District 13. So
this one involves a neutron bomb, which I don't think District 13 had.
No, I don't think they did. But there's parkour.
Yeah, there's lots of parkour.
Yes, and yes. There's RZA. And again, YouTube clip of just the parkour and cut out all the other crap. Or why don't I just watch the original, which was awesome.
Badass!
Yeah.
Agreed. The sequel's actually pretty good, too.
Yeah, it was okay.
I'm curious, mostly out of a curiosity factor, because I really like the original. And I'll watch David Bell in pretty much anything. So, hey, it works for me. Also opening on the 25th, Lock. Tom Hardy in a car. Dealing with shit.
I have no idea what this is about.
Neither do I. It looks great though.
I was gonna say this looks really interesting. Yeah.
Yep.
Considering the entire video, the trailer is him driving in a car with a cell phone in his hand, which is wrong. Yeah. No, I don't.
Totally, totally see it. Yeah. I know, right?
How is that possible?
I thought he was on speakerphone, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, either way, he's talking on the phone for the trailer, and that's all I know. He's doing stuff because something is happening. And it looks great. I don't know why, but it does. There you go. Also opening on the 25th for no good reason. This is the documentary on the artist.
Yeah.
And this actually looks really great, I thought.
This month has been an experience of wanting to write trailers off and watching them and going, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, Ralph Steadman, the artist, is a pretty interesting guy. I mean, I've only the first time I saw his work was in Pink Floyd videos and artwork and the CD covers and whatever else. But I didn't realize he was like a political cartoonist.
Neither did I.
That's kind of impressive.
I have seen his art. I knew nothing of Steadman, but I've seen his art all over the place. Like the trailer is showing his different stuff.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I know that. I've seen that before.
I don't particularly like his style, but the trailer got me interested in the guy.
Agreed.
I really like his style. I knew nothing about the artist, but I've seen a ton of his work, and it's very distinct from pretty much anyone else. And I've always really dug that, especially Fear and Loathing. Yay, Hunter S. Thompson. I didn't know there was a connection other than artwork thing. And I'm like going, oh.
He's more Gonzo than Hunter S. Thompson. Yeah. Like
that already, ooh. I like this guy. Yeah. terrifies me, but I like him.
He speaks to me. and that's it for the month.
Fantastic.
It's not great.
Like I say, it's highs and lows, and I'm not sure what to think about most of them.
Who cares about the lows? As long as there's a few highs so I can aspire to getting out of the office and seeing
you've
a movie.
Done really well. Last week, we went to two movies together.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Do you believe this?
I'm doing horrible at getting out to films other than midnight screenings.
Like everyone else, I think, that's ever seen it, like Enemy, like what the fuck ending? What? It's great, though. I think literally never been that surprised at an ending. It was like, it was so well done, even though I'm sitting there going, what did I just see?
It makes so much more sense the second time around. It really does.
I will take your word for it.
And it's funny because Kurt was saying that, well, I didn't think it was that cryptic. I'm like, you're either a genius or you're pulling my leg.
Yeah. Or, read some spoilerific thing on the way in.
Because I don't know if anybody could really make sense of it the first time around.
As soon as you... we should probably talk about it later. Okay, but as soon as you guys were talking about, like, it's got this big reveal in it, and it's like, if I ever want to see it... So I just shut off to, like, literally everything. talking about it, and I'm so glad I did.
Oh, good. Excellent.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know what you're talking about.
It's amazeballs.
I always like the fact that Fight Club, no matter how many times I see it, they tell you what's going to happen in the first 30 seconds, and within like about another 2 minutes, I've completely forgot what they told
this
me.
This is very similar, and quite honestly, seeing it the second time, I almost feel like I saw a completely different movie.
Cool, I love
that. It's really weird, so I'm really excited to watch it again, though probably not theatrically at this point, but I really, really love that movie. So if enemy is playing near you, run.
If you really just like mostly mainstream movies, just don't go. But if you do like being challenged at a movie and really having to think a little bit,
and it looks and sounds amazing.
There's a lot of amazing things about this movie.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. There's two films that I had planned to go into Vancouver, and both times I either was sick or whatever things happened. I did not see Tim's Vimeer, which is...
I cry for you. I shed a tear for you every time I think about
that. It's gadgets and it's art. I like that.
And there is a scene in there that is going to make you squeal with glee.
Sweet. I already was squealing because, like, I love Vimeer. Anyways, the other one was the John Woo...
Johnny
Toe film, Drug Wars.
Yeah.
Curse it. I love Johnny Toe.
It'll still happen. That'll probably end up on Netflix pretty soon.
Nice, I'm hoping.
Just to quickly go over what's opening in Vancouver local at the specialty cinemas. The Van City Theater, we've already mentioned, has Nymphomaniac playing playing until April 3rd, so you still have a little bit of time to catch up with that. The Unknown Known, the new Errol Morris documentary, playing the 5th to the 9th. Sex After Kids, which I think you saw, Dale. Did you see that one on Whistler?
I tried to see it, but I didn't make it. Yeah.
I really liked Sex After Kids. It's a really funny romantic comedy made in Canada. Really great. Highly recommended. Playing the 11th to the 16th. A documentary on the Sagrada Familia called Sagrada, which sounds really, really fascinating.
It sounds easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Sagrada?
Sagrada?
Sacred? I don't know.
See, I would have liked Sagrada.
Yeah, Sagrada.
Sagrada. Yeah. The accent's a little different. It's true.
West Coast Canadian. Sagrada?
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's a very hard... That's interesting. I hadn't noticed that. But yeah, so it's about the Sagrada Familia, the church that's been in the building for 200 years and is still not finished. There's just something about this documentary. I'm going to go see it.
Cool.
Like, no joke. That looks amazing. And round of applause, Blue Ruin is finally coming to town. You guys have no idea why I'm getting excited.
Right? I don't know, but I will clap because you told me to.
Yay!
So Blue Ruin was actually one of the Kickstarters from late last year. It played Cannes to all of the backers' glee and joy. And it's funny because I got a text message from Bill late in last year, early this year, saying, hey, did you see that Blue Ruin it was rated by the BC Commission, but so we assumed it was going to be playing somewhere and then it never came. So we've been waiting for a while. It's finally playing April the 25th to May the 2nd. And they're also doing, the Van City's also doing a Woody Allen retrospective. So a bunch of Woody Allen films playing. Colleen is rolling her eyes.
I just don't get the appeal of that guy.
I like some of his movies, and I do really like Bullets Over Broadway. I may make it out to try and see that one. And they're not playing Mighty Aphrodite, which is actually my favorite Woody Allen movie.
I think the very first movie Woody Allen movie I liked was, I think it was called Play It Again, Sam.
Oh, I think that's one of the ones that's playing, isn't it?
I don't
maybe
see it
not.
On the list.
No, maybe not.
But...
You know,
yeah, he's really hit and miss. The one with Martin Landau and
I don't think there's any Woody Allen film that I can honestly say I really, really like. Like, at best, It's Okay is like my high side of Woody Allen.
Yeah, he's very hit and miss for me. I can appreciate why people like his work, but it doesn't all work for me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm very selective. I like some a lot better than others. So.
Same here. Mediocre okay to gouge my eyes out.
I've really enjoyed a few of them. Like Midnight in Paris, I actually thought was really well done, and I really enjoyed that one. So, but yeah, generally speaking, not really my cup of tea. Moving over to the Cinematheque, and the Cinematheque is going to blow Colleen's mind. I see her circling madly. Yes, I know. One of the films that's playing there as part of Diverse Scene, it's only playing for when this goes up, it'll play until April the 2nd. It's called The Auction. When I saw it at Whistler, it was called The Dismantlement. Really great, very quiet and dramatic story about a man who has to sell his farm to provide for one of his daughters. Very low-key family drama, but really, really interesting and a really fascinating take on family dynamic. Because this guy is basically willing to change his entire life for his daughter. And she is not that nice of a person. So it's interesting. I really enjoyed it. Some third act problems, but overall really, really good. Highly recommended. And what Colleen was getting all excited about?
From Within, the films of David Cronenberg, complete filmography.
Complete, including shorts.
Jesus.
This thing is going to be fucking amazing.
I hate going to Vancouver. Damn it.
You and I are camping out, girlfriend.
And it's spread over an entire month, so it's not like I can just like take like 3 days off and just binge.
Yeah, they're doing it's not exactly the entire month. It's like it runs for like the first week and then there's a short break and then it runs for a few more days.
Okay.
Lots of like basically the entire canon of David Cronenberg, so a good opportunity to get caught up on anything you haven't seen. And oh my God, the chance to see The Brood on the big screen, I am going to freak out.
Yay.
Because that is like one of my favorite movies ever and I have never seen it on the big screen.
Excellent.
I am so excited. I cannot begin to tell you.
Oh, I hate going to Vancouver.
we'll have to manage our calendars.
Yeah.
This month's April's Frames of Mind is actually Hotel. I just want to mention this one in passing because it was on my shortlist for VIFF and I didn't get around to seeing it. It looks really interesting. It stars the same woman that was in A Royal Affair.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, same girl. She plays a maid or something. I'm not 100% sure, but it looked really interesting when I saw it on the calendar for VIFF, so I'm happy that it's coming back. And for those that have yet to see it and would like a mind trip, Ben Wheatley's A Field in England.
You know, I chose not to actually participate in VIFF this year. I took the year off. And the only film that I really, really regret not dragging myself to Vancouver was this film. Because, quite honestly, like, what was the one? Not The Wicker Man.
Wait.
It was that
Kill List.
Kill List, the crazy ass assassin turned some sort of weird occult thing. I love this guy's brain.
I'm not a fan of Kill List, but I really liked his first movie.
Yeah. So I was very disappointed. Plus, it's like 16 sort of 50 kind of thing. It's right in the period of history I'm most fascinated with. So
it's totally up your alley.
I know.
I'm not sure you'd love it, but it's totally up your alley.
Excellent.
But there you go.
I will have to see that then.
And it's already out on DVD.
Oh, maybe I don't have to go to Vancouver.
You don't have to go to Vancouver. Remind me, I will hook you up.
Excellent.
But yes, that is the month. I have nothing else to say. Oh my God,
I don't
April.
Have much film related to say. I've been binging on television shows on Netflix.
Ditto. Not on Netflix, but ditto.
Psych, all of Fringe again, and now I'm working through Supernatural.
She got through all of Fringe again.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hells yeah.
I'm a bit jealous.
I love that
and
show.
Plays in a rock band.
Yes, I know, right?
I know, right?
I've been struggling with all my other stuff. It's cutting into my entertainment time.
I watched 40 hours of television on top of all the other TV I watched in like 3 days. So
I wish I could say that.
I figure I probably have 160 hours on the base.
I wish I couldn't say that.
Oh.
It's really been problematic this week.
I made like hit the quadrillion dollar achievement in clicking bad, but the thing is you can just let it run in the background and make money for you. So
does it make money even when you don't log in? Does it just keep working?
I think it does, but I haven't tried it yet. I've just been letting it run in the background with my browser. Like I flip to the window. It's like, oh, okay, got enough to buy stuff. Bye, bye, bye. Let it run again for a while.
So are you a kingpin yet?
Oh, hell, I'm way past kingpin.
Wow.
I should give you that documentary, How to Make Money Selling Drugs.
I own 75 of the 100 senators in the United States. They're on my payroll.
I don't know whether to be ecstatic or really
scared. I have no idea what you're playing, but I'm entertained just hearing about it.
It's a game based on the sort of the concept of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I never saw Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Oh, you need to fix that. The thing is on Netflix.
I saw a couple episodes and I was like instantly, meh. It's sort of like Game of Thrones. I have no interest in Game of Thrones.
You know what? Breaking Bad goes into so much dark territory, it'll make you squeal with glee.
Oh, okay.
There is some like super twisted shit going on.
How many episodes do you figure I have to watch before I get hooked? Because I was probably two or three and I'm like,
meh. I'd say you can probably, I hate to say skip towards the end of season one, but maybe skip a couple of episodes.
Okay.
End of season one starts getting really interesting. And by the time you get to season three, it's like every episode something insane happens.
Okay, cool. It's really just good. What I need after the 97 series of Supernatural. I can move on to that.
And there's only 5 seasons of Breaking Bad, you know? You can mainline that in like a month. And, yeah, you know.
They're not 26 episodes.
And they're not 26 episodes. They're 13 episode seasons. Oh, so crap. It's short.
So it's like 2.5.
Yeah.
All right.
You're set, man.
I'll give it a go then.
Yeah,
I'll give it another shot.
I would give it a shot. It's Breaking Bad is really, really good. But watch True Detective first.
Oh, dude. Thank you so much for putting it on the stick for me.
Watch True Detective first.
I'm freaking jonesing to see that. It sounds like my kind of thing. Went to a book reading. What was it called? When the Stars Are Right. It's like a self-help book for Cthulhu cultists.
Oh, nice.
When she said self-help, my mind kind of went, what?
I know. It's quite...
But now it all makes sense.
I've been reading it. It's a weird, weird book.
Wow.
Yeah. The guy who wrote it from Victoria came over here and was at Stormcrow Tavern. And he did a bit of a reading kind of thing. And I almost want his other books now, too, which are also sort of mythos related. So
that's hilarious.
So I hesitate a little bit mentioning this, but since Woody Allen came up in the movie, Lena Dunham,
yes,
from Girls,
yes,
did this really interesting interview with a guy named Mark Maron. He has a podcast show called What the Fuck, and it's like an hour and a half interview. They talk about all kinds of things. Dunham is, as you might expect, a really interesting person to listen to, and they talked about Woody Allen for a bit. And when I was Googling it, the Hollywood Reporter picked up part of the interview in the thing. And it's a really interesting discussion when you get... Because for me, it isn't so much Woody Allen as it is Ender's Game and Orson Scott Card. I mean, mm-hmm. Nobody got child molested, but, you know, the hate in that. And that whole, like, there's this guy that does some art that I really like. And how do you deal with that and the fact that you're not such a nice person? And they had a really good discussion on like the whole, like the minutiae is maybe the wrong word, but kind of how it isn't so black and white. So I recommend people give that a listen. I'll pass the links on. If they're at all interested in that kind of thing. And you know, if you don't give a shit about Woody Allen, like, yeah, that's cool too.
I
understand that completely. But I mean, it is applicable to, like, you know, Wagner, right? Still is controversial some yeah. circles.
Yeah, and that's the one I was going to bring up. Actually, there's a really great documentary from. I was going to look up what it is.
Polanski.
Polanski, yeah.
There's a there was a documentary that came out last year. I think it's Finding Wagner, Searching for Wagner. I can't remember what it was, but it's one of the British actors whose name I cannot remember. I was trying to find it. Now I can't. I'll see if I can dig it up, because it was his. He's Jewish, and it's his sort of. It's like 90 minutes, and it's basically him trying to come to terms with the fact that he's a huge lover of Wagner, even though this man had some really questionable politics,
right?
And it was also really, really interesting for that same reason. So I'll see if I can track it down, because I can't remember off the top of my head. But I guess that's where because I did see some headlines late last week about Lena Dunham saying, "Love the art, not the artist." I don't know if that's a direct quote, but it's kind of an interesting concept for sure.
All right then.
I don't know.
Well, there's a conversation killer. Sorry about that.
No. I think it's really interesting. And yeah, for sure. Pass along the links because we'll have to link to that. It sounds like a really interesting one to listen to. I like good podcasts. It's all about the podcast.
It's 2.5 hours. It's too long.
I like 1.5-hour podcasts. They're just long enough.
The one I'm listening to is every episode is 1 hour plus or minus about 5 minutes. And so I only have 75 left to go.
Do you sleep?
What?
Do you sleep?
Every lunch hour, I plug in and then walk to the top of Golden Ear, shake my fist at like the Fraser River, and then walk back to work. I don't know. It's just habit now, listening to these idiots talk into my head.
It makes doing the dishes and that kind of stuff go a little bit easier.
That is true.
But yeah, so I'm like, okay, if I walk 5 days a week, how many more weeks of this program?
Before I'm looking for other podcast
material.
Oh, wait,
they had a podcast before this called The Speedway Squad. Yes! Oh, and then Caustic Soda. Yeah, I have a long list of things I'll be listening to, I'm sure.
And I find that I listen to podcasts. They put me to sleep on the SkyTrain in the morning.
Oh.
And then I have to go back and try to remember what I last listened to.
What the worst thing for me is when especially when I'm listening to you and Shannon or to Bill and Adrian, and it's just like, oh, I have a comment I want to make, and I get to work, and it's like, damn, I should have written it down.
What was that?
Well, it's funny because for a long time, whenever I listened to the Cinecast, I always had the window for the comment section open because the same thing. And like in a 2.5-hour show, I'm going to forget in 10 minutes.
I can't listen to a 2.5-hour show. If I see a length like that, I will not listen to it. Cause
yeah, Kurt and Andrew are like epic.
I know.
It goes on for epic time.
Too bad, because I really like Andrew's opinions and Kurt's. Well, it's Kurt.
It's Kurt.
It's interesting. It's interesting at best. It's at least. Anyways, but 2.5 hours, like, good God. I'm going to, at no point in my life do I have 2.5 hours to sit or do anything to listen for 2.5 hours straight, and I'm going to lose where I am, and then fuck it.
Not happening.
If the podcast is over 1 hour, I'm out.
Odie. Okay, so that means that we should wrap this one up because otherwise Colleen won't listen to us.
I never listen to us anyways. I hate the sound of my own voice, just like everyone else.
Well, you get used to it after a while.
Burn, yeah.
You get used to it after a while. It's all good. So we will be back maybe sooner than next month. Dale and I going with some friends to Emerald City Comic Con. We may find time to record something or other depending on what we get to do while we're in Emerald City. The wonderful Emerald City, where hopefully no helicopter is going to fly out of the sky, fall out of the sky and crush us.
That's tragic, man.
That is insane.
Man. So for the people that haven't heard, a news helicopter from one of the local Seattle stations.
Como 4. I watched that station.
Within 2 minutes of takeoff, crashed to the ground with a full tank of gas. And
yeah,
the pilot crazy. And the photographer were killed instantly. And some of the motorists around were, I think, burned but survived. But yeah, it's like
it was,
and they don't exactly know why.
No, it was crazy. And I said, "Dan, it's a good thing it didn't happen like next weekend." Yeah. Not that it's anywhere close to where we are, but still.
Well, the day before was the St. Patrick's parade, mm-hmm. and that entire area was absolutely crammed.
Oh yeah, people, so. Yeah, right. Because I mean, it was right by the Space Needle and that little entertainment section they have there now. So yeah, that could have been much, much worse than it ended up being. So.
Yeah, I had friends basically standing exactly where the plane landed the day before.
Yeah, like, that's crazy. So yes, I will be watching the skies for falling helicopters, among, you know, other things.
That's,
like,
that's a line from the thing. Yeah, look to the skies.
I'll be watching the skies for the drones.
Yeah. The falling drones? What?
Is today the day?
Yeah.
Is today the day the invasion happens?
Well, you know, that plane's gone somewhere.
Sweet. It's a harbinger.
You know, Dan's first thing when the whole mystery plane happened was the aliens took the plane. And you know what?
There's a picture of it on the moon.
Saw that. I'm like, hey, man, it's as good of an answer as anything else. Who knows?
You know, it's so terrible when something like bad like that happens, like some big sinkhole opens up, or like the bleeding glacier.
That was fucking creepy.
My brain goes to all those science fiction movies I've seen, and it's like, oh yeah, the alien invasion, or
stop
like
digging in the Arctic, damn it!
Yeah, you know, you figured they would learn. How many times has this happened now?
We got a core sample for 10 miles down. Oh, this can't end well.
I should attribute the line to Colleen because I've got so many laughs out of it. It's just like,
wait,
don't thaw out things frozen in the permafrost, people.
Yeah,
it's true.
So we should take lines that Colleen says and make movies out of them.
Oh, we should do then we could Twitter account shit Colleen says.
Yes, please do.
This is going to be a multi-million dollar selling book, and I am going to be
sell
rich.
T-shirts with just the actual crap I say. Yeah.
Nice.
I want Kate Winslet to play Colleen.
In the Winslet? Seriously?
Love
seriously,
it.
Seriously, I think she could like, I want to see her stretch a little bit. I was just like thinking of her in the blonde thing from Divergence.
Yeah.
And looking at Colleen with the blonde hair, and I think she could do a great Colleen.
Kate Winslet's aging really, really well.
Is it going to be something like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Because that'd be awesome. Although I'm not nearly that manic.
No, I was just,
but I could be.
I was just thinking of her when she did the that comedy thing about wanting to get an Oscar. I forget the guy's show.
I think it was Space. Was that one Spaced?
No.
It was the other one?
That British comedian's show. She did the skit with.
Yes, I remember.
Gervais.
Yeah, it was a Ricky Gervais thing. And it's just like, yes, she can play that straight, like really ironic kind of with the edge. She could do Colleen.
Yeah.
She could totally do Colleen.
All right. Kate Winslet.
In the story of my life, Kate Winslet would pay me.
All right. I wouldn't have gone there, but.
Who would your pick have been?
I don't know, but somehow I'm thinking obscure and borderline scary.
Nope, Kate Winslet. And she will win an Oscar for it and everything.
Yes, she will.
Everyone will be happy. Are we done now?
So
Colleen says.
Coming to Twitter soon?
Yeah, nice. Coming to Twitter soon.
Excellent. I might actually log back into Twitter to watch the feed.
Oh my God, this is going to be amazing. But you have to send us all the stuff you say.
All right, I have no problem.
Okay, you keep the emails coming. I will keep the Twitter
active. As of
late,
I started making more t-shirts with things that have been mentioned by me or to me.
Nice.
I have a Minion of Science shirt now. I'm very happy
Minion
on that.
Minion of Science.
One of our scientists from Dalhousie said, you're not in science. You're not even remotely science. You're a Minion of Science. I'm like going, yes, I'm a Minion of Science. He was taken aback. I was excited by my new title. I'm a Minion. Yay.
Oh, brother. So that's it.
That's it. Yes.
Okay. So come on
Row three.
Row three for show notes. There will be some. There always are. They're not extensive, but there are some. And we'll be back hopefully sooner rather than later with some Comic-Con goodness. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.